Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, or saints from the branch churches and the local sanctuaries, GCN viewers and all children of God who attended the worship online, this is the 62nd lecture on Genesis. In tonight's scripture, God gave an order to Adam, saying, "From the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die." However, God the Father foreknew that Adam would eat fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God loved Adam, but then why did he put the tree which caused his death in the Garden of Eden and then give Adam an order not to eat from it? I will tell you why God placed the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil in the Garden of Eden. Simply speaking, God did it to give a true happiness to Adam. It was also deep providence of God to acquire true children through human cultivation. Why does God cultivate the humans on this earth? Why did God allow the Lucifer to appear so long ago? Why did he allow all the heavenly hosts of the angels to exist? Why did he allow the world of evil spirits and the Garden of Eden to cultivate us as humans? We can do it right only when we know its true meaning and live a life of faith. Let me explain what it means now. In other words, it was God's deep providence to obtain the true children through human cultivations. Let me explain what this means. There are many fruit trees in the Garden of Eden. There's a vast variety of fruits, and they are all different in sizes and colors. In the center of the Garden of Eden, there are two unique fruit trees. They are the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil. Fruit from these two trees are surely different from each other in shapes and colors. First, the tree of knowledge of good and evil is one of the fruits of this land and looks like a peach and is a pink in color. And the fruit from the tree of life is similar to an apple with the color of a red. But it's not completely red. It has a beautiful color with a little of a reddish color. The fruits of the Garden of Eden taste so much better than the fruit of this earth. In color and in taste, Adam could freely eat them as much as he wanted, except one fruit, the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil. God said that Adam could eat all fruits, but he forbid him from eating the fruits of a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why? It's because God commanded him not to eat from it. The fact that God commanded Adam is very important there here. God didn't give any order to Adam concerning other matters. God gave Adam authority to rule over everything and the free will for Adam to do whatever he wanted to do. However, regarding the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God strictly warned them, saying, do not eat from it, for in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. And he designated the central area of the garden as a restricted area and had the cherubim guard the tree. God didn't just tell Adam not to eat it. He also took care of the tree and gave a careful warning to Adam. You can see the clearly here that God didn't put the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil in the defenseless situation, even though he foreknew Adam would eventually eat from it. He not only districted the area, but He also had it guarded by the cherubim. He also showed an example of the result of the violation through the cases of dinosaurs. God warned Adam in various ways so that Adam could put it in his heart. Some people misunderstood God. They said that God tested Adam to see whether Adam would eat from the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil. Adam lived there for countless years, and if God had intended to test Adam, Adam would eventually eat the fruits at some point, but you must clearly understand the meaning of the test. Are you saying that you were also tested by God? God tested you? James chapter 1, 13 says, however, let no one say when he's tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and He Himself does not tempt anyone. God does not test anyone. God doesn't test or tempt anyone. He doesn't take advantage of someone's weaknesses and cause him fall. Quite the contrary, He knows the strength of everyone and gives each individual opportunity to make a full use of it. This is a test of a blessing. He never tests anyone. He just help people their strong point. For example, God commanded Abraham to give Isaac as a burnt offerings. It was not that God tested Abraham. Since God knew Abraham perfectly believed in God, He gave him an opportunity to put his faith into action. He made Abraham's faith to become perfect through his deed. God believes in Abraham, but He works to make that faith recognized by the enemy Satan and the devil. Consequently, Abraham passed this test of a blessing with a perfect score, and he was acknowledged as a forefather of a faith and a friend of a God. Our God may give this kind of a test of a blessing, but He doesn't tempt people to cause them to fall. The temptation to make a people fall is managed by the enemy devil and Satan. Then God placed the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden, and Adam ate it and was then banished to the earth. How could this be a blessing to Adam? How could Adam get true happiness through this? I will explain in much greater detail about how Adam ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. As we get to Genesis chapter 3, I said that before Adam ate the fruits, he enjoyed everything in the Garden of Eden, and that he even subdued and ruled over the earth. The Garden of Eden is so beautiful and peaceful. Everything is well provided. Since Adam lived in such a place like this, he must have been happy, right? No, he was not. He was not happy. To be more specific, I should say that Adam couldn't feel true happiness. The Garden of Eden was more beautiful than this earth, and Adam was given the authority to rule, govern, and subdue everything in the Garden of Eden. Adam had a great power over the forces of darkness and could command all cherubim, but he could not feel true love or true happiness. Why? Adam didn't experience the unhappiness, which is the opposite of happiness. If you have never experienced the misfortune, Do you know what is the happiness is? Maybe you don't know. To know happiness, you must experience the unhappiness. And to know happiness, but if you have never experienced or felt this relativity, then you will live without knowing that happiness even if you are happy, because it's not something you have ever seen or touched. In the Garden of Eden, there's no getting sick or dying from an accident. It does not happen in the Garden of Eden. There's no death for any living things there. Therefore, they don't need to feel pain, sorrow, or sadness. When something happens that makes people feel pain, suffering, or sadness, people say that they are unhappy. You have to feel pain, suffering, and sadness to be able to say you are happy or unhappy. Adam knew about the emotion as knowledge, but he didn't understand it in his heart. It was because he didn't personally experience any unfortunate. He could not understand in his heart what it felt like to be an unfortunate person or how painful their situation was. Because Adam had never been unhappy, had never experienced or felt it, he did not know what an unhappy person felt and did not understand in his heart how painful the situation was. People who are unhappy and sad are crying, thinking that those feelings are their own. When he experienced the dinosaur incident, of course, he thought deeply about death. However, he just confirmed a concept which had been a mere bit of the knowledge in his heart. When dinosaurs died at the judgment of a fire, Adam didn't feel the horror that dinosaurs would have felt. Even if the person next to you feels it, if you don't feel it yourself, you will just forget it after some time. In fact, the earth which was devastated by the dinosaurs soon recovered and its peace was restored. In this way, Adam didn't feel unhappiness in his heart, which is the opposite to happiness. To realize the true value of something, you must experience its opposite and understand the relativity. That is only when people get sick can they understand the importance of being healthy. Say there is a fully grown man who has never been sick in his life. There are many believers in our church who have not been sick for a while, but try to think as having experienced that pain. Such a person cannot understand the pain, sadness, and the suffering of a hurt that the sick may feel very well. Even if it's roughly explained, he just accepts it as a knowledge, but he cannot empathize with it. When others are grown in pain, he may feel sorry when he sees them, but he cannot share the pain the others are experiencing. If he cannot feel the pain of others, he cannot realize how thankful he ought to be for the fact that he has always been healthy. Comparing himself with others, he may say, "I'm really fortunate to be healthy." But he cannot be grateful from the depth of his heart for his good health. On the other hand, suppose there's someone who had an incurable disease and he suffered from it for a long time. One day, he was somehow healed of it. Now he can feel the gratitude deep in his heart for the fact that he recovered his health. It may be true as well with a minor illness. After suffering for a few days with a stuffy nose from a cold, you realize how grateful you are to be able to breathe clearly through your nose. By the same token, the principle that you can understand the true value of something only when you experience its relativity can be applied to anyone. If you fast, you will realize how thankful we are able to eat 3 meals a day. But if you have ever experienced a hunger, starving for 2 or 3 days because you had nothing to eat, and hearing your stomach growling, how grateful would you be for abundance now? So they realize how they feel when they hungry or they have enough food. Let me give you another example. Those who experienced the Korean War must have the memories of the days in poverty, especially during the period of time known as the barley humps. It was very difficult. In May and June, the barley pass comes in the pass in Korea. At this time, everyone had to live with worry. Everybody was thinking, what I am going to eat to live? May and June were when everything ran out of the food. There was nothing to eat. You plant barley in the fall. In the winter, barley grows in the snow, grows straight, grows in the spring, and in May and June, the barley grows. You get so hungry and have nothing to eat, you cut the ripe barley and eat the ears. People cut and ate unripe barley to survive. So the period was called the Barley Hill in Korea. It was a really difficult time. It was the season when you ran out the grain from the harvest of the previous year and the barley had not yet ripened. At the time, people would dig up all kinds of wild greens in the field and a little flour or rice and pour in a lot of water to make a porridge and eat it. Since porridge is mostly made up of water, eating it was essentially just filling the stomach with water. Sometimes you strip the bark off of the tree and ate it the soft part. Those of you who suffered from hunger like this understand the importance of a food and save even a grain of a rice. People in the past did not throw away rice no matter how busy they were. Even if one grain fell underground, they would pick it up. However, people today do not feel sorry if a few grains are washed away while washing rice. However, people in the past did not dare to do that. Conditioners in the old days, there were no refrigerator or air conditioners, so rice would spoil in the summer. However, people could not throw away the rice. So they boiled it again and ate it or soaked it into the alcohol. They did not even give the spoiled rice to pigs because people valued rice very much. Now, what about the young people of today? It's rare to miss a meal just because there's no food. Since they were young, they've always had plenty to eat, and they grow up worrying about the gaining weight by the eating too much. These young people think it's better to throw it out than to eat it all or save it. When others talk a lot about the importance of food, they sometimes think of it as a nagging. Early people, elderly people are very careful about the saving electricity, and they make a habit of turning off the lights when there's no one around. However, young people rarely think about the saving electricity. Young people have never experienced the misery of not having any things to eat when they are hungry. It's very important to feel relativity like this. It's only when there's evil that we learn how good is, and it's only when there's darkness that we learn how precious light is. When you are exposed to evil and encounter evil, you will hate evil so much. A person who says good is too good will quickly get rid of his evil. Also, those who suffer from the jealousy or have had a painful experience by the enemy will envy or hate. This sin and the world try to get rid of the jealousy and the envy with them. There's no envy or jealousy in your heart. Your heart will be at ease and you're happy. If you are jealous and envious, you hate others, you are uncomfortable, and therefore you are not happy at all. You must realize that you have such evil. Without poverty, you would not be grateful for wealth. And without hatred, you would not know the goodness of a love. Because people have hated, they know the goodness of a love. Adam, who lived in the Garden of Eden where there was no misfortune at all, could not realize his own happiness. Since he had never felt the pain or death, even though the God said, if you eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die, he did not understand it in his heart. When he saw that happened to the dinosaur, he thought, oh, that could happen, but he didn't keep in mind along with his feeling. A person who has not experienced such a misfortune cannot truly be grateful for the good circumstances he enjoys. Adam was not truly grateful for that God had given him out of love. But after Adam ate the fruits of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and was banished to eat earth, things changed. Adam experienced many things while living on the earth, the world of the flesh. He experienced the cold and the heat, hunger, fatigue, and the pain. He also felt the frustration and anxiety for spiritually disconnected from God. He had experienced the cold, hunger, fatigue, and the pain since coming to this earth. In fact, the frustration, the anxiety that come from being spiritually separated from God are even greater. He had to see Cain get jealous and envious of his brother Abel and eventually kill him. There were times when he felt as his hair was being torn apart, and he would shed the tears incessantly with an uncontrollable, turbulent sadness. Think about it. Adam taught his son only goodness, but Abel followed the teaching and offered the sacrifice that pleased God, while Cain did not. So naturally, his younger brother would have received God's love. Cain himself was jealous of his young brother while not pleasing God. Cain himself was jealous of his younger brother. He sighed deeply in great despair. After all this, Adam finally realized how happy his life had been in the Garden of Eden. Adam lived for 930 years on the earth and finally met with a fleshly death. Adam and Eve will live in the paradise of heaven forever. Paradise is the lowest place among the many dwelling places of heaven. However, God did not completely abandon Adam just because he ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam, on the contrary, learned what true happiness and the joy were and what sincere gratitude was while being cultivated by humans on the earth. He was heartbroken and distressed to see the strife between his children and the mothers among them due to jealousy. He thought them the same things about what is the sacrifice that pleases God, but someone of his children practiced it, while others did not listen at all. Those of you going have children will probably understand very well what this means. Also, as you are children of God, some of you may the word of God and turn away from evil, but some hear and learn about what causes going to hell many times, but in the end, they choose the path of hell. Adam went to paradise after being saved from the shame by being cultivated like that here. However, paradise is a much happier and a better place than Eden. It's a place of a true joy, happiness, and a true peace. It's a place where Adam feels abundant love that he never felt before. Since paradise belongs to the third heaven, it's a much better place than the Garden of Eden in the second heaven. Adam, who had experienced the misfortune on this earth, became truly grateful for everything he enjoyed of paradise. He lives his life in the sincere gratitude to God the Father for saving him and bringing him into heaven, even though he committed the sin. Adam could finally understand and enjoy the true happiness. The true happiness that Father God wished to give to Adam finally came upon Adam. All of Adam's descendants born on earth also went through the process of realizing truth by experiencing relativity like Adam. While people are being cultivated on the earth, they encounter various things such as tears, sorrow, pain, illness, and death. Then he can realize how good it is to be happy and how precious the true love is. Anyone who understands the truth in his heart like this can give thanks forever. And ever even after they entered heaven, God the Father wanted to Adam and all his descendants to enjoy true happiness. In addition, he wanted them to understand the deep love of God the Father and to share the love from the depth of their hearts with God. Therefore, you must know that it was God's love that allows the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it was also God's love that allowed the process of the human cultivation. Those of you who have children may understand it well. When men and women get married, they usually give a birth to the children. As they get the children, they rejoice, but at the same time, they feel happily responsibility. To raise their children until they fully grown up, parents must go through a lot of trouble and make sacrifices. In order to raise their children well, sometimes they have to force their children to do something that is difficult for them. They know well that their children will not become good if they just feed and clothe them as out of their love for their children. When their children don't want to study but want to play, they send their children to school. If possible, they will make their children study more and more. Parents should not give in to everything their children ask for. If that's the case, what will those children do to you when they grow up? If wealthy parents buy their children luxury cars, do those children appreciate it? If that child had grown up properly in the Lord, he would not have accepted that car because he would know that having such a car is not right to his position. Most children who receive what their wealthy parents give them because arrogant and eventually show arrogance to their parents. They look down on their parents. Parents love their children, so they train them to become human beings and, furthermore, great people. To the children, on the other hand, the learning and the training may feel hard and difficult. However, once they overcome well and become successful, why do they give thanks to first? They give a tearful thanks to their parents who devotedly supported them and to teachers who educated them well. It's the same with the human cultivation. Father God already knew that people would experience the pain, sorrow, trials, and the suffering during the period of cultivation. Yet He allowed them to undergo the cultivation. It's because the true children of God can come out through the process. Why did God cause me pain for 7 years? Thanks to this, through the pain of these 7 years, I learned love, service, and the inner thoughts of a human and the people, and I was able to learn and think about who truly loves me. And I haven't found anyone who truly loved me in those 7 years, so I've come to know human love. I've come to understand what true love is. In the love between the people, I haven't met anyone who truly loved me before I accepted God. I've never met someone who gave true love to others. I came to know what true love is, that only the love that God gave us is a true love. My parents, my siblings, my wife, no one gave me a true love. I lived for my own benefit, but God did not abandon me, met me, and gave me true love. Therefore, we must know that the human cultivation we receive on this earth is an essential process for entering the eternal heaven. From time to time, you may feel it's hard and difficult. However, when you overcome and triumph with the good and truth by believing in God, you will surely obtain the glorious fruits. Dear brother and sister, after God the Father began human cultivation, He didn't just sit back and watch how things were going. God the Father also participated in human cultivation. It's not only human beings that are cultivated and met tears and sorrow. God the Father also feels pain with the people and sometimes even suffers. Rather, He suffered and was inflicted with more pain and suffering than any human beings can endure. First, He was betrayed by the Lucifer, who had given the utmost love. Also, the first man, Adam, whom God created and raised with all His heart, committed the sin of the disobedience. To save a sinful mankind, He had to send His beloved Son, Jesus, down to this earth. And He had to watch His Son, Jesus, mocked by the sinners, nailed on the cross, and die miserably. If the heart of God the Father were like a heart of a man, it would have been burnt as like ash. He endured all the pain, suffering, and the sorrow with the love for the many years. Yes, still, when a man is committing sin, the Holy Spirit mourns and suffers. It will last until the human cultivation is over. When God the Father planned the human cultivation, He already knew things would go on like this. Not only God the Father, but also God the Holy Son and the Holy Spirit would suffer from pain, sorrow, and sadness. He did not only let us experience the relativity by cultivating our lives in a world that is like a wilderness. The Trinity God knows that the frizzles of human beings, so they provide the strength and the love in any way possible. In Isaiah chapter 58:9 says, "Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry and He will say, 'Here I am.'" In John chapter 14:13-14, Jesus said, "Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Romans chapter 8:26 says, "In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but Spirit Himself intercedes for us with a groaning too deep for words." Likewise, God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit are helping all of you who are being cultivated. They don't just cheer you up with the only word. As you cry out for God the Father, He will say, "I'm here for you." He also promised that He will do all things as you seek in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In addition, the Holy Spirit helps your weakness as He intercedes for us even when you don't know what to pray for. With three such a strong sponsors, is it difficult to farm? Is it difficult? I hope that all the saints will go to the Spirit, all the whole Spirit, while confessing it's not hard, it's not difficult, it's easy. Let me conclude it. In this time, I told you why God praised the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was not to test Adam and make him fall, but to give Adam the true happiness. He also placed the tree of the knowledge of good and evil to obtain the true children through the human cultivation. It's the same when God asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. God knew that he would sacrifice Isaac, but it wasn't a test. He committed Abraham's faith by doing so. God showed Abraham's unchanging truth, faith, and obedience to all nations, including to the spiritual world. and to the enemy devils and Satan in order to establish him as the father of a faith. Only through the human cultivation can people feel true happiness and the love when they live forever in heaven. Therefore, I hope you believe that it was a God's love that put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and governs human cultivation. I hope that during the time of the cultivation given to you, you will continuously strive to achieve the true heart and the complete faith. Father God provided you with enough grace and the power to become His true children. Even if it's not possible by your own strength, it can be done by God's grace and power. Philippians chapter 4, 13 says, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Therefore, I pray in the name of the Lord that you will overcome in the time of a human cultivation with the faith and the goodness and become fruits that will bring joy to the Father.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centers, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces, and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.